You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Cross, and General Editor for the U Bible Study. And joining me today is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It's great to be here on this last session of a wonderful study, Living Life Connected to Christ. This is session 6. Our final session, and it is titled A Life of Victory. Now, we've talked a lot about adversity and the persecutions that we're going to face, and no one wants the sorrow and uncertainty and hardship in one's life. We don't want it. But this is what we do want. We want to know that God is with us, even in the hard days. That's what this session is all about. God is at work regardless of what we feel. Jesus's crucifixion reminds us that God is at work, even when life seems darkest. His resurrection helps us to know that we can be victorious. And he secured that victory for us when he died on the cross. Our scripture passage is John 16, verses 19 through 22, and then 27 through 33.
All right, so our point is, in Christ, we have victory over anything the world throws at us. Victory over anything. I love that. So point number one, our sorrow turns to joy. Chapter 16, starting in verse number 19. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, and so he said to them, "Are you asking one another about what I said? In a little while, you will not see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me. Truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy." When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you. Wow. So this is great. Just a reminder, if we are to live a life of victory, trouble will come, but our sorrow ultimately will be turned to joy. So notice it doesn't say that the Christian life is the absence of trouble. It doesn't tell us that the Christian life is the absence of sorrow. It reminds us in a real way that we will have both of these, sorrow, trouble, and pain will be a part of everybody's life. They are a part of the human condition. But it reminds us that ultimately, God turns our sorrows into joy. That's a great thing. That on the other end of the trouble, God turns us into joy. So he uses the illustration, Christina, of a woman having birth. Mm-hmm. I understand that that might be a little painful, but do you know I have any experience with that?
I hope you hadn't had that experience, Mark, but it is very painful. Many women who have born children can attest to that.
Well, I would just like to say that often women say that a man has never experienced anything like that pain. But I had a lady who was a member of our church who was a nurse. She was a surgical nurse. And she had a kidney stone or something like that. And she said, this was her testimony. She said that that pain was worse than the pain of childbirth. She said that while she was laying in the hospital bed, I put my hands up and gave the Lord a praise. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, because you have now told men everywhere that we can experience a pain that is worse than childbirth. You have now shut the mouths of all women who have said that men could never experience a pain that bad. You've now said this as a testimony. And so I'm just giving Lord praise. So anyway, men can experience pain is what I want
to say. But you know, Mark, I agree with that. I do, because I've had kidney stones too. And it is exactly, to me, it was exactly like giving birth.
All right.
The pain
all right.
was horrible. Yes.
There you go. Another witness. Another yes. witness for the Lord. So, but it says that, you know, unlike a kidney stone, you don't get anything at the end except relief. But at the end of childbirth, you get the blessing of a baby, bringing a new life into the world. And so this says that even though it's painful, the process is painful. He said, there's joy on the other side because a new life has come into the world. And so he says, that's the kind of victory we will experience in the Christian life, that there may be sorrow, hurt, pain, and suffering. But what we get to see on the other side is how God moves for his glory, huh? And so our hearts get the opportunity to rejoice at the other side of the pain. What are you thinking about, Christina?
Yes. And, you know, God's work was not to replace their sorrow with joy, but to turn their sorrow into joy. And he's done this often in our lives. Our Lord's meaning appears to be this, that the resurrection should be so completely demonstrated to the disciples that they should never have a doubt concerning it. Never doubt that the resurrection happened. Never doubt that Jesus came back and appeared to them. And so consequently, that experience would produce joy, and that joy would be great. And that joy would be permanent.
All right. So in a life of victory, our sorrow will be turned to joy, and we are covered by his love. Look at verse number 27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples asked, look, now are you speaking plainly and not just using figurative language? Now we know that you know everything and didn't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. And so, wow. So there it is, a reminder that in the midst of everything we go through, we are covered by God's love. There he says, the Father himself loves you. Why? Because you have loved and believed that I came from God. So, man, this could stop. We could stop right there. That's everything right there. That our lives change when we have the right relationship with God. And the right relationship with God comes because of our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. He says, because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. What's Acts 4:12 say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so a right relationship with Jesus makes all the difference. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's all right there in verse number 27. The Father loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That puts all the rest of this into action in the life of the believer. Verse 28, I came from God, came from Father and have come into the world. And again, he says, now I'm leaving the world. And the disciples say, hold on. Are you speaking plain English or figurative language? He said, because now we know something. We know something we didn't know before. We know that you really do know everything. And we don't need to, and don't need to, anyone to question you. And he says, by this, we believe that you came from God. So they said, man, you have proven yourself over and over again. Mm-hmm. Huh? You have proven yourself. So all we need to know is whether you're talking to us in plain language or in figurative language, because this man is making all the difference for us. And so, so this is great. A reminder that we go through times of sorrow. But in the midst of all of that, because we have a relationship, we are covered by his love, right? Just like your children are covered by the parents' love, so are we as God's children covered by his love. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, Mark, Jesus is saying here that we can go to God because God loves us. And he's saying this before he went to the cross. So he understood the love of God even before he went to the cross. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew how much God loved us. He didn't die to change God into love. He died to tell us that God is love. He didn't come because God so hated the world, but because he so loved the world. Jesus brought to men the love of God. And so that's what we see here, the love that he's wanting us to understand about God. Even though he's going to a dark place, he can see the victory on the other side.
All right. Wow, that is so great. So the last point says, we have peace in the midst of the turmoil. In the midst of the turmoil. And so this is great. So let's read this last section, verse 31. Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has now come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33 is our memory verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have overcome the world. And so, wow. So this is a great, 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 great reminder. So what does this soul session say? Our sorrows will be turned to joy. In the midst of the trouble, we are covered by his love, but we will have peace. Before it says our sorrows will be turned, that's in the future. We are covered by his love, and because of that, we have peace in the middle of the turmoil, or peace in the middle of the storm. Come on, peace in the midnight hour. is what God provides for each one of us. What a powerful piece this is that we end up on. And says, he just reminds them, an hour is coming and it's now come. And he's talking about his impending death. So you'll be scattered to your own house. You will leave me alone. He said, even though you leave me alone, he said, this is what I really want you to know. I will not be alone because the Father is with me. That's a great word for somebody who feels alone right now in this pandemic. You feel alone, lonely, forgotten, disconnected, forsaken. Remember, the Father is with you. I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. Huh? Peace. Peace is not just the cessation of trouble, right? Trouble can be going on all around you. But you can have peace in the middle of all of that. He said, you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. Just understand this. I have conquered the world. And so, what a great word. Now, notice this. He says, I have, which is past perfect, right? It hasn't yet happened yet. He has not yet gone to the cross. He has not yet been crucified, buried, died, and risen again. And yet, he says, I have conquered the world. This is the construction we call the epistolary aorist. It is a future event that's spoken of as if it's already happened. So certain is God to carry out what he said he will accomplish, that God will talk about what has not yet transpired as if it's already done. Come on now. So when God speaks about, he's speaking now about these things in biblical time, and that's something that was impending, about to happen. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified. He was about to rise from the dead. He said, but look, I've already conquered the world. It doesn't matter what's happening in human time. He says, in the God prerogative, the God who sits outside of time and eternity, he said, we have already accomplished this thing. And so just keep this in mind to grab a hold of that for yourself too, because this is not just true as he's speaking about this instant. He is also speaking about some things in our lives. Come on now, that he, the divine prerogative, is so certain to be carried out that God simply speaks as if it's already done. So not only has he already conquered the world, but since he's given us this promise of victory, we too have already conquered the world. Come on now. And so I'm walking into my victory. I'm not in it now. Trouble is all around me, pain, sorrow, sickness, and death, but I'm walking into the victory that God has for me because he has already promised that his right hand and his holy arm have gotten for us the victory. Come on now, somebody going through trouble, somebody who has been discouraged ought to give the Lord a praise right in here. And so what a powerful word this is as he reminds us of the fact that we get this opportunity to have a life of victory, right? Doesn't matter. Whatever you're going through right now, just understand that it is temporary. Have peace in the middle of whatever circumstance you're in right now, because God is marching you to victory. The victory may be in this life, or it may be in the life yet to come, but we are certain of victory in one place or the other. So two songs just come to my mind. One is the song, It Is Well With My Soul, right? When peace like a river attends my way, with sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And the other one where he talks about the fact that He says, you all are going to leave me, but I'm not alone. Come on. What's that old hymn, Black Church hymn? I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of my Savior telling me still fight on, because he's promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Christina, you're going to have to get on your shouting shoes as you teach this.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, it's amazing. And you know, what's so amazing about this statement from Jesus is that he had not yet been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was about to be forsaken, rejected, mocked, tortured, and executed. And when you think back on his life, Judas, the religious authorities, Pilate, the crowd, the soldiers, and even death and the grave could not overcome him. That's a lot. Instead, he said, I have truly overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And if it was true then, it's certainly true now, as you've just said, Mark, and I won't go into that. But yes, we have overcome because of the victory that Jesus experienced on the cross. When he died, when he was buried, and he rose again. So we should be of good cheer. We should have joy in our hearts, because we can be victorious despite any adversity that we may be facing.
All right. What a powerful, powerful, powerful lesson this is. What a powerful lesson. And so just keep in mind that there's certainly some who are going to need the encouragement that this lesson can bring. People who are going through real life, real time, troubles and storms and adversity. And so be an encouragement to them as we go through this particular lesson on today. God is going to use this lesson, I believe, in a powerful way to encourage some people's hearts and lives in your class, because they are going through in this season. So I just want to thank you all for joining us. But if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. And I want to just remind each of you that you can get your own copy of the U Bible Study curriculum, and you need to, from lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It's our food booth study for us, by us. It's our urban multicultural Bible study. Comes in paper and digital formats, has a teacher's guide in the back of the book, a daily devotional pages, because one of the things that helps us to grow in our discipleship is daily Bible engagement. It has a leader's pack that one can get, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so parents and their kids can have some common things to talk about around the Word of God at the dinner table. Come on, that'd be a great thing to help us to grow and disciple our kids. So please, make sure you get your copy soon. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is recruit and train a new group leader. Now, one of the things that we don't want to happen is that our group would grow stale and stagnant. Just like we're growing and changing and transforming, we want our groups to continue to grow and transform. So this will be a great opportunity as we end this study and begin a new study, an opportunity to enlist and develop new leaders who can serve maybe in this group or start new groups. So look around and ask yourself, who might the Lord want to raise up and use in this capacity? And then pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal someone to you, and invite that person to be a part of all that you're doing, and get them trained so that you can help them to become a group leader or partner with you as you're leading your group. Amen.
All right. All right. Very good. Very good. This is going to be a great, great study, and God's Spirit is going to move powerfully as you're with your class on this week. My friend, join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.